We are looking at the importance of prayer, and the encouragement tonight is to dedicate time to pray. We do this with things we consider to be important. We very often dedicate time to eat, time to sleep. We set aside these times to accomplish things that are necessary, important. Go to work. Come to church. What we ought to do is to schedule for ourselves and dedicate a time to pray. Don't fall for the idea that this has to be, you know, some sort of leading of the Spirit, some movement of your inner thing, that's the only time you can be led to prayer. We don't hold to that. We believe that you can pray. You can pray when you choose to pray. And when you find in your life that you don't pray, that you're not praying a dedicated time of prayer, then schedule it. Set yourself a time. Make it a time that you can dedicate. You can focus on that. So, just four thoughts. One, glorify God in your time. You know, there's a thought of glorifying God in the different things we do. Tithing of your money. But consider your time. Your life belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. Give him some time. Glorify God in your time. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, that includes praying, do all to the glory of God. How do you use your time? Well, glorify God in your time. Take some time to pray. Dedicate some time for that. This is God honoring. This is imagine a situation where somebody calls, says, "Hi, how are you doing?" You say, I'm sorry, I have an appointment that I have to keep. Can I call you back later?" You know, and if push comes to shove, what appointment are you talking about? I have a prayer time to spend, you know. The second thought is schedule an important time with God. Make it an appointment. Think of this as scheduling an important time with God. Make your appointment. Say to him today, "I will meet you tomorrow here, same time," as you finish talking to him. Daniel is a good example of this. We find this in chapter 6, verse 10, taking part of the first and part of the last verse. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," that he was not supposed to pray to any god but the king, "he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God," notice this, "as he did aforetime." This was the time, three times a day. He didn't just do this out of rebellion. How dare they pass a law like that? I'll show them. This was him just being faithful to a scheduled time. Now, Daniel was an important political figure. He was a busy man. That means that part of his busyness was scheduling this time to be home, kneeling three times a day. This was part of his schedule. He had his secretary clear his schedule for this. See? The third thing is this: eliminate interruptions. This is what you would do with an important appointment. Hold my calls. So don't just put your phone on vibrate. Turn it off. You are taking the risk that somebody's going to call and say your house is on fire. But give the job to somebody else. Eliminate interruptions. I think I see this slightly in Matthew 6:6. Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet," some small room, some area where you're by yourself, "and when thou hast shut the door." Why would you shut the door? People walking by, "What are you doing in there?" Interrupt you see. "Shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I get a picture there of sealing yourself off, closing yourself off from the world, from worldly interruptions, from distractions. Shut the door. Shut the door. And then finally, get a regular place. You can pray any place. You can pray any time. But for this dedicated time to pray, get a regular place. Make this a familiar spot. Part of the habit of praying daily at this place and at this time is that the work of getting your heart and mind into a praying situation, a praying emphasis, is taken care of when you do it same time, same place every day. Again, back to that passage in Daniel 6:10, notice that it was not just that he did it at the regular time. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house," and notice a very special place, "and the windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem." I don't know how many windows in his chamber faced Jerusalem, but that's where he went. He went to that place. He couldn't see Jerusalem. He couldn't see the temple. But that's where he went. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed at that spot. Back when Solomon was dedicating the temple that he had built, he said to God, "Please consider this, that when your people are far away and they turn physically toward this place, would you hear their prayer?" Daniel took that up. I don't know if this point in his prayer time, the Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. I don't know. But he turned to that place. And the indication is that's where he went. That's where he went. Maybe he had his prayer rug there so his aging knees would be all right there. But he kneeled upon his knees. That's a good place to kneel, by the way. On your knees. And pray. So glorify God in your time. Honor him with the time. Set aside a time that's realistic, but significant. Schedule an important time with God. Schedule it. Eliminate interruptions. And get a regular place, a place where you do it regularly. Comments or questions?
Keep reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't play trying to catch up.
Yeah, I dealt with that too. It's like, oh, well, this isn't working for me. I missed a day, you know. But I began to realize that if I had missed 3 days, the next day it was better to get back to it. Than to say give up. That was of the devil. You don't give up listening to your Lord. You just don't give that up.
So I said rather than following
it. Right. That's fine. And scheduling yourself so that you read through the Bible in a year, that's fine. It's not necessary. It's not required. I remember taking the challenge and I forget now what the schedule was, maybe a month, read through the entire Bible in a month. Well, I was spending a lot of time reading the Bible. That's a big book. But you ought to plan to read through it. Now, vary it if you'd like, just for interest's sake. Matthew Forston was telling me that he has found a chronological Bible that, as far as the editors were concerned, that the first things written or put first and so on. And then as you go through the history of Israel, it's all in historical chronological order rather than going back and forth from 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. So that would be an interesting way to do it. Another is to take the challenge, and I particularly recommend this, and take one of the smaller books that you can sit down and read within a half hour, read straight through it, and do read that book every day for a month. Like the fifth day, you're going to start feeling bored. I read this already. The next week, you're going to begin to notice that you're making connections with the back end of the book with the front end that you never did before, because you always started with the front and ended with it and then didn't go back. But now you're seeing connections with the back end as you next day go back to the front. You'll also find that within that second and third week, you're beginning to see how the thing was organized. It's beginning to flow in your mind. You're beginning to see the outline connections of what was being said. And by the fourth week, you're considering going through it with another month because it's so rich. You're getting so much out of it. It's one of the best ways to truly, you will find that without trying to memorize, you'll have passages that just are part of the way you think after you've read through it in a month. First book I tried with that was the book of James, and it was remarkable to me. I'd always considered it just a series of things, like a list of proverbs. But I began to see the whole connection and understand some of these things. Other books, like Matthew, gets pretty big. And I was reading about how people dealt with that, and they would break it up into even three parts. In 1 month, you read that first third every day for a month. Then the next month, the second, and the third month, the third part. But you're getting that repetition. But we were talking mainly about prayer here. Your Bible study is a thing, and I've mentioned before, but I always connect it. I pray to empty myself, and then I read the Word of God. Then I pray myself full of what He said. I try to apply that to myself, praying myself active as I close the Bible study. But spend some time in prayer. Keep your prayer list with you so that you said you'd pray for somebody. You won't forget. You've got a list. All right.